To 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4, read one verse to start with, and then we have other verses that we'll look at. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, and looking at verse number 12. So 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12. As Paul writes to young Timothy, a young preacher in the ministry, a son in the faith as he's called, someone that Paul mentored, Paul encourages Timothy with these words. He says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Father, again, we do thank you for the time we can have together tonight. We do ask that you would bless our time. Thank you that we know that you are with us because Jesus said where two or more are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. So, Father, we're not looking for just an hour of religion, but, Father, we're looking for you speaking to our hearts. Father, we do spiritually sit at your feet as Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, having chosen the better part. And it is the better part to always be prepared to sit in your presence, to allow you to speak to our hearts. And Lord, we do ask that you give us ears to hear not only your voice speaking to our hearts, but help us to hear the lessons you want us to learn. Help us, Lord, to hear the verses, the promises that you want us to be reminded of. And help us, Lord, to hear from you how to apply your word to our life so it brings blessings into our life and helps us to become more like Christ and fully surrendered in our life to your will, knowing that you do all things well, you do everything perfect in our life for your glory and for our good and for Christ to be exalted. Father, I ask that you would please bless our time, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, like I said before, Paul writes this letter to Timothy, a young man that Paul was very influential in his life. Paul was a mentor to Timothy. Timothy being raised by a godly mother and a godly grandmother, as Paul mentions in the letter, kind of chapters previous to what we're in this evening. But Paul wanted to encourage Timothy in his walk with the Lord, and he says these words to Timothy. He says, "Let no man despise thy youth." Again, Timothy was a young man, and apparently Timothy could be easily intimidated by older Christians, or not even just older Christians, but just older men in general that would maybe try to take advantage of him, and he wanted to be liked by everybody, and maybe would just allow people to kind of run him over and push him around. But Paul says, don't let people despise your youth, because physical age does not always show wisdom, but spiritual age can bring wisdom, because wisdom comes from the Lord. And God wants us to have his wisdom. And when we read these words that Paul writes to Timothy, there are several areas that he tells Timothy to be an example in. He says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer." Someone who has a walk with God, someone who has a relationship with Christ, someone who is allowing their life to be transformed by the power of Christ, someone who is, you know, submitting themselves under the mighty hand of God so God can lift them up in due time, someone who is learning on a daily basis that it is better to trust the Lord than to trust your feelings, and to, you know, it's better to trust in God's wisdom than in what we think might be better. All right, so Paul says, in these areas, be thou an example. He says, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. God calls us to be an example of those whose lives are being transformed by Christ, so others are encouraged, so others will see the light in us and be drawn to Christ, because we can't change anybody's thinking. We can't, you know, save anybody. But we can definitely be that example that encourages them and shows them our faith is real and shows them that we truly are trusting Christ. And even though we're human, even though that, you know, we still have our difficulties in life that we face and trials and so forth, yet we're showing that by example, we're learning how to trust the Lord, how to rely upon the Lord, and we're seeing blessings in our life. So when you think about just being a godly example or a godly influence, you know, I'll touch base on this again at the end, but as we go through this, it really does rely on us having this close work or this close walk with the Lord, letting the Lord work in our life so that we are a godly example to others, other family members, other friends, even other believers, being the ones to be able to encourage other people in the Lord. So first thing I want us to think about is being a godly influence or a godly example encourages a closer walk with God, not only for us, but for others, all right? A godly influence encourages a closer walk with God. Keep a finger here in 1 Timothy, but let's go back to the book of Psalm, Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, and in order for us to continue, you know, learning how to be a good example, of the believer, it really does start every day with us seeking God through prayer, through Bible study, through our own personal devotions, and even having that desire that, God, I want to be a godly example to my family, to my friends, to my coworkers, those that are a part of my life in some capacity, so that Christ is lifted up, so people see Christ in me. All right, so a godly influence encourages a closer walk with God. Now, Psalm chapter 1, just the first three verses, 1 through 3, says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Because we know God's word is like a two-edged sword. It's also like a mirror, right? It really cuts to the chase. It doesn't beat around the bush. It shows us what our true intentions and motivations are. But also, it shows us, you know, where we're maybe coming up short on what God wants to do in our life. In verse 3, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." God truly does want each of us to be blessed, and we're blessed through his word. And that's the first word that is said, blessed. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that doesn't do these things, but then verse 2, he or she is blessed when we delight in the law of God. We delight in God's word because we know that God's word is that lamp unto our feet. It's that light unto our path that will always guide us in God's way. It will always guide us according to God's will. And when we think about us being a godly influence in someone else's life, encouraging somebody else to have a closer walk with God, it may be another believer, it may be a non-believer, but encouraging wise choices. Now, we can't encourage somebody else in wise choices if we don't make wise choices. And one of the greatest choices that is full of wisdom is to fear God. The Bible says the beginning of wisdom is to fear God, right? Is to really believe that, you know what, my life does not consist without God, without Christ being the shepherd of my life, leading me with his wise counsel, working in my life. So I am like a tree planted by the rivers of water, a tree that is strong, a tree that bears fruit, right? And we are to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life, but encouraging others in wise choices because we're making those wise choices as we walk with the Lord. But also encouraging just biblical thinking, right? Again, as the Bible tells us in verse 1 that we are not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the scorner, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Well, what's the opposite of that? The opposite of God's is God's wisdom. And we're to walk in the ways of the Lord. We're to encourage wise choices. We're to encourage Godward or biblical thinking, reminding ourselves and others of God's love. That, you know what? God truly does love you. God truly does care about your life. He cares about every detail of your life. And he wants your life and my life to be blessed. So when you think about just being a godly influence, as Paul is encouraging Timothy, you know what? It doesn't matter what the age is, all right? We all can be an encourager to somebody else as we're allowing God's word and God's Holy Spirit to encourage us and to continue transforming us into the image of Christ as we continue to learn to walk closer with God. Again, Paul was a great mentor to Titus, to Timothy, as well as to others. He was someone who is a great encourager. You know what? Paul was not a natural encourager. He learned it from somebody else. Because when he first was born again and he first trusted Christ on the road to Damascus and his life was transformed by the power of God, he tried to yoke up with the other believers in Damascus. He tried to be involved with, you know, the Bible studies and get close to the believers, but they were all afraid of him because of who he was, who they knew him to be, was a murderer, someone who was trying to stamp out the name of Christianity, someone who was trying to kill the Christians. But it was Barnabas, the son of consolation, as he's known as, that came alongside Paul and encouraged him, befriended Paul, and brought Paul before the other disciples, before the other Christians, and boldly spoke on behalf of Paul, saying, you know, yes, this is who he was, but not anymore since Christ transformed him. And Paul's been preaching boldly salvation through Christ. So Barnabas, the son of consolation, encouraged Paul and then encouraged others to, hey, you know what? His life has been transformed just like your life has been transformed. So Paul learned how to be able to encourage others and to be a blessing to others because somebody was that way to him. All right? Somebody was that way to him. We all know what it's like to have somebody, as I think you do, most people experience where somebody comes alongside and encourages you in some capacity where maybe others wouldn't even give you a chance. But then somebody, I'll say, you know, took a chance on you as they took chances on me and you know, it encouraged you that, hey, you know, somebody believes in you. Somebody, you know, thinks, really believes that your life is being changed by the power of God. So again, when you think about just being that godly influence to encourage a closer walk with God, that's what Paul is telling Timothy back in this letter as Paul writes from a Roman prison, writing to Timothy, encouraging him in his faith and saying, hey, you know what? Don't let it bother you if somebody, you know, thinks, well, you know, you're just some young kid. What do you know? He says, you know what? Still be an example of the believer, right? Still be an example of a believer. Encourage people to have a closer walk with the Lord. Because you know what? A godly example is someone who's trustworthy. Someone that will speak the truth in love. The Bible says in Proverbs 26, verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. So when we think about being a godly example, a godly influence, We do. We want to encourage a closer walk with God as we continue developing a closer walk with God. And as we continue to develop a closer walk of God, a walk with God, we are to be found trustworthy. Because you know what? There's going to be somebody in your life that comes to you and confides in you for some help. They'll confide some confidential information that nobody else knows because they see you as someone who's trustworthy, as a Bible believer, as a child of God, as a born-again believer, as a Christian. There's somebody always looking for somebody they can confide in to get some help. I had the privilege of meeting with somebody today and talking with somebody who confided in me some things about their life. And they also told me about their salvation, you know. Because, you know, not everybody is, nobody should be. Paul was someone who did not, lift up his past life as a Christian murderer, all right? But we all have our past life. We all have things in our life that we regret that we did, whether in teenage years, young adult, things before becoming a child of God, before salvation, all right? And there's going to be times where somebody will maybe come and talk to you, and they're confiding in you, and you really have to have the wisdom of God to know, am I supposed to go talk to a pastor about this? Am I supposed to, you know, get some other godly counsel so I know how to help this person? Or do I just pray for this person and pray for God's wisdom? Because again, we want to be trustworthy, just as we know that God is trustworthy. Because you realize that anything you tell the Lord, He doesn't go and tell anybody else. Unless it may be a prayer request where you're seeking God for help, you're seeking God for provision, and He lays it upon someone else's heart, you know, to provide whatever it is, right? But you know what, if you have struggles in your life that you're struggling with and you're seeking God for help, God doesn't tell the whole world what those things are. So when you think about being trustworthy, it truly is learning how to be confident. To be confident in keeping, you know, I don't want to say secrets, but keeping what someone has confided you in. Someone who has confided in you, you know, to talk about some things. Paul, again, and bear with, this is all about being a godly influence. Because as a child of God, all of us have the responsibility to be a help and a blessing to somebody else, just as people are a help and blessing to us. So when you think of when Paul says, you know, but be thou an example of the believer, saying, hey, you know what? Let me just say this. As Timothy being a young minister, basically, Timothy, people are going to confide in you in certain things, and you can't just go and blab it to everybody else. You can't go tell your buddies. You just can't go, you know, tell other, you know, church members, you know, what's going on in someone else's life, right? But being trustworthy, because we all want somebody we can trust in. And let me just remind us, there is one person we all can trust in, but not only confidence and confidentiality, but for help and strength, and that is the Lord, right? As I was telling this young man earlier today, you know, just encouraging him, you know what? Prayer is the best thing that God's given us to help us, because we get strength from praying to God. We get, you know, encouragement praying to God. We get confidence praying to the Lord. And aren't you glad that God is trustworthy, that you know that you can cast your care upon the Lord and He cares for you and He cares about those burdens that you have. He cares about the things we face, you know, because God has thoughts of peace towards us, you know, not thoughts of evilness, but thoughts of peace, that we will have an expected end to whatever it is we may be facing in life. But again, learning how to be that godly example, that good example. Just as, again, as Paul experienced it from Barnabas, Paul was able to, what he saw in Barnabas and what he experienced with Barnabas and their friendship, Paul was able to take that, obviously with his relationship with Christ, And he was able to influence other people for good, to influence other believers that were kind of struggling in their faith, to encourage them in their relationship with the Lord as Paul continued to grow in his relationship with the Lord. Because I want you to think about not only, you know, should we be trustworthy, and not only should we be having a closer walk with the Lord as well as we encourage other people, but listen, it has to be a real example. Let me ask us a question. Are we a real example of a believer? I didn't say, are we sinless and perfect? I said, are we an example of a believer? Because a true believer, a true Bible believer, believes that Jesus is the answer for everything and God is the resource. My God shall supply your every need. My God shall supply your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Right? So being not only a godly example, but being a real example. And this is where Paul really hammers it down with Timothy as he specifically names some areas. He says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And all these areas are areas that we have to continue growing in ourselves, continue seeking the Lord's help in our life in these areas. So you know what? We can be a godly influence. Again, and with our children, whether we're still raising children or our adult children, spouses, family members, I mean, it just goes on, right? Just anybody that is a part of our life, we should have a desire. I want them to know my God. I want them to experience the blessings that I experience from my Lord. I want them to know that, sure, even, you know, things that maybe I struggle with, things I got to pray and really have faith that God's going to provide, that they see my relationship with the Lord and they're drawn to Christ because they see how my Savior helps me every day. But being this real example in word, right, our words are very important because our words should always build up and not tear down. Our words, the words that we speak, should always be words that we use to build up and not tear down. Colossians 4:6 says this, let your speech be always with grace. Always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Now, Jesus is the ultimate example that we look to. That's why Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Jesus is the ultimate example. And how did he deal with people? Think about it. How does Jesus deal with you on a daily basis? How does he deal with you? And when I think about Scripture, I think about, you know, those that, think about this man that was brought to Jesus. He had the palsy. And his four friends carried him on his couch to where Jesus was, and they couldn't get into the house. But the four friends were determined to get their friend some help. So they said they climbed up on the roof, removed the tiling of the roof, and lowered their friend down in front of Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus looked up, he saw the faith of those four friends and said to the man with the palsy, thy sins be forgiven. So Jesus, I mean, he knew what the real issue was. We don't always know what the real problem is. These friends were bringing their friend because he had some physical ailment. He had some health issue, this palsy. But Jesus knew the spiritual issue. And he says to the man, thy sins be forgiven. Do we realize that if those four friends had not taken upon themselves to bear the burden of carrying their friend to Jesus, it's possible that their friend would have never gotten the spiritual or physical help he needed. Because when you read that account, there were some Pharisees there that said, who can forgive sin but God? And Jesus, knowing their hearts, he said, you know, what's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, you know, So he tells the man, you know, arise, take up thy bed and go home. And he did. He rose up spiritually cleansed and physically healed. I mean, that's a wonderful thing that, you know what, Jesus didn't condemn him. Think about this. Just as, again, earlier today as I was talking to somebody and we were talking, you know, different Bible topics and stuff, and we talked about Peter. How Peter did something he said he wouldn't do. He told Jesus, I will never deny you. I'll never turn my back on you. And Jesus warned him and even said, yeah, you will. You're going to deny me three times tonight before the rooster even crows. Nope. Peter says, I'm not going to deny you, though everybody else denies you, I'm not. Who knows better? Do we know ourselves better than Jesus? Jesus knows us inside and out. He knows our thoughts. He knows everything about us. And if God warns us, we really do need to listen and say, Lord, help me not to do that. Because God's given us of the Holy Spirit to convict us and to show us when, you know what, we might be making the wrong decision. And we've got to be keen to the voice of God that we really, you know what, I don't think God wants me to do this. I don't think God wants me to say this. But you already know the account. Peter did deny him. And Peter apparently thought that his relationship with the Lord was over because he goes back to fishing. He doesn't even seek God for repentance. Though when you read the account, he went out and wept bitterly. He repented of it, but he just felt like, you know what? God doesn't want to see me, doesn't want to talk to me because I did what I said I wouldn't do. And who is it that came to Peter to rectify the relationship and to let Peter know he was still loved and that he still wanted to be a part of Peter's life? It was Jesus. Jesus came to Peter and asked him three questions, same question three times, do you love me? And that's what God asks us often. Do you love me? Okay, then let me work in your life. Let's move past your failure and let's work on it. And he's the one that does the work, because he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. But again, we got to be careful in the words that we use when talking with people, even when responding to people. Being that godly example is a real example in word, we want our words to be full of grace just as Jesus' words were full of grace. I mean, again, when I think about just how Jesus interacted with people who didn't try to hide who they were, people who didn't try to, you know, pretend like they were something they weren't. And Jesus was very gracious, but he did not give the Pharisees much opportunities to boast of their good works. Because the Pharisees would bring this harlot, not this harlot, would bring this woman caught in the very act of adultery, cast her at Jesus' feet and say, hey, Moses in the law says she must die, but what do you say? And I love how Jesus just would deal with each situation that he was met with, and each person in that situation, how he graciously, lovingly dealt with them. Because as the Pharisees were condemning her, Jesus says, well, whichever one of you is without sin, cast the first stone. And not one of them threw a stone, because they all came under conviction and felt guilty because they knew they were sinners. And they walked away. And then when Jesus looks up again and only sees the woman, her accusers aren't there, he says, where are thine accusers? He says, they're not here. He goes, no man condemns thee? She says, none, Lord. And Jesus says, neither do I. But go and sin no more. That's the wonderful grace and love of Christ that we experience. Again, there are going to be people that do us wrong, that do you wrong. There are people going to say things wrong against you. But as we continue to walk closer with the Lord, we learn how to be a true example of the believer by showing grace. Because you know what? We don't always have to say something in response to somebody's negative words towards us, right? Jesus didn't always answer the critics. He just kept doing the Father's will. He kept talking to people who wanted to hear. He kept helping people who wanted to be helped. The Bible reminds us in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Again, one of the ways that somebody will know that we truly are an example of a believer, an example of a child of God, a Christian, a born-again believer, is by our speech. Is by our speech. What is it that we say? How do we say it? What is it that we talk about the most? Right? And as a believer, one thing that should occupy our conversation often should be the Lord and what He's done in our life. But also in our conversation, He says, be thou an example of the believers in word and in conversation. Conversation speaks of our lifestyle. Again, someone has to see that, you know what, you are different. Because the Bible tells us to come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Because how else are people going to know that we're different, that we are a peculiar people, as the Bible says? They have to know that something is different about us. In Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, conversation, lifestyle, things that they do, that ye stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Our lifestyle, our conversation should exemplify Christ. Again, remember when you go back and you look at Peter and the other disciples that were brought before the Pharisees after the man at the temple was healed from being lame. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Again, it's not about us forcing somebody else to believe what we believe or forcing somebody else to change that needs to change. Peter said, you know what? I don't have what you financially need, because Peter was a fisherman. He wasn't some wealthy guy, but he said, you know what? What I have that will impact your life, that will transform your life, that will physically help you, because during that time, the apostles were giving power to heal people. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And then Peter extends his right hand as, you know, an indication, look, I'll help you, I'm here for you. And that man took him by the hand, and when he stood up, he never stood up a day in his life, but when he stood up, man, he had received strength in his legs. He didn't even have to learn how to walk. The Bible says he started walking and leaping and praising God because somebody cared enough to share Christ with them. Somebody cared enough to share the one person that transformed his life. But not everybody's happy about that, because the Pharisees would get Peter and the others and bring them before them and say, question them and even make the comment, these ignorant fishermen. But one thing that was said is they took notice they had been with Jesus. Even though they were ordinary men, yet something powerful was exhibited in their life, which was their walk with Christ, their relationship with the Lord. And it impacted many people around them. And we do. We want our faith not only to impact us, but to impact others around us. We want people to see that, you know what, there is a difference. There is a difference between us and other people, because in us is Jesus Christ. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. But He also says, not only in word and conversation, but in charity. Charity speaks of compassion. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is considered by many to be the love chapter, it says charity is the number one thing that should be exhibited in our life, the compassion of Christ, the love of Christ, right? And you know what? That is what helped the Good Samaritan that we read that Jesus gives the account of. the Good Samaritan that would stop and help somebody that had been robbed, beaten up, and left for dead. Jesus gives that account of the Good Samaritan because the Jews did not like the Samaritans. That's why Jesus said he must go through Samaria. He told his disciples he must go through Samaria. He sits down at the well. The unnamed Samaritan woman comes out, talks to Jesus. His disciples had gone to go get some food. They come back. They see Jesus talking to her, and they're kind of like, that records, you know, they're not happy. Like, why is he talking to her? Because the Jews would actually, they didn't care how long it took them to go around the city of Samaria. They just went around it so they wouldn't even get the sand of the city on their feet, the dust on their feet. But Jesus gives that account of a Good Samaritan, a picture of Christ, but the Good Samaritan who did stop and help the man that was beaten up, robbed, and left for dead. Compassion. The compassion of Christ really does help us to see the need that others have, because it's the same need that we have. We still need God working in our life. We still need Christ transforming us into his image, helping us to have confidence in him, helping us to trust him, helping us to faithfully follow him, and to even willingly give up things in our life that is a hindrance, that is, as Hebrews says, a weight or a sin in our life that holds us back from getting closer to the Lord. But Paul tells Timothy, be an example, not only in word and conversation and in charity, showing people the compassion of Christ, but in spirit, in your attitude, right? Many times we're all caught off guard with our attitude, and really, I don't even want to say we're caught off guard. We just sometimes choose to respond in a way that we regret, whether to somebody or some situation. That's really why we have to allow Christ to work in us, why we have to continue to allow the Holy Spirit of God to cultivate the fruit in of us, his fruit, right? Contentment, meekness, the love, the joy, the peace, right? It's really having that right attitude, because it's true. As my dad told me when I was a little boy, attitudes are contagious. Whenever I would get a bad attitude, he'd say, son, attitudes are contagious. And that meant you better settle down before dad gets a bad attitude and you get in trouble. Again, you know what? Good attitudes are contagious too. There have been many men in my life, Christian men, who, you know, whenever I would see them, I would just smile. You know, I would just their right attitude would just rub off on you, even if you had a bad day. I remember going to church on a Wednesday many times, having had a bad day and really not wanting to go to church. I just went because I know I was supposed to. But what, even walking in and just seeing this other man just so cheery and, you know, and just, you know, greeting everybody coming in, it was like, you know what, I'm in the right place. Why am I going to let this bad attitude, why am I going to let whatever happen ruin the rest of my day? So it really does matter who has our focus. It really does matter what type of attitude we have when we face each and every day. Because remember, Philippians 4:8 reminds us, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Proverbs 25:28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And that's not the way we want to be. We don't want to be like a city without walls. And you know what? We just do and say and think everything negative because we think, you know what, my life is rotten or my day is rotten. But reminding, wait a minute. If my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus, and I can do all things through Christ, then you know what? That's the one I should be submitting to. That's the one I should be surrendering to. That's the one that should be promoted in my life, is Christ, and not the fact that, okay, I can say something mean, I can act a certain way, but it should be Christ that I am promoting in my life and, you know, lifting up in my life, right? Not how, you know, how I can get real mad, but I should really, through the help of Christ, through the strength of Christ, show that, you know what, I can contain the words that my flesh wants to say. I can contain the emotions that would not glorify the Lord. When you think about the disciples, Peter and the others were beaten for their faith. They were told, don't speak in that name anymore. And they were beaten. And the Bible records that they went away rejoicing. Rejoicing. Rejoicing that they were worthy to suffer shame for the name of Christ. It really is having the right attitude that helps us to really see, you know what? I want to glorify God. I want to lift up Christ in this situation, in this day, in this moment. I don't want the devil, you know, to have the upper hand. Because again, somebody's watching us. Somebody's watching you to see how we respond to different situations because they want to know. Someone who's being drawn to Christ is always looking at some other believer to see, you know what, do we believe what we say? Do we really trust the God and the Savior that we promote in our life? And honestly, when we fail, when we choose to fail, we're giving the devil an upper hand in that person's life. Again, it's not up to us who gets saved or who chooses to do right, but we don't want to be the ones that gives the devil that edge. We want Christ to have the edge, to have the upper hand as he uses our life to promote himself. That's why Paul says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. We still have to be an example to others, right? And our attitude is one of those things. Having an attitude of faith. Do I really believe what the Bible says? Do I really believe what God has promised me? Then I'm going to build my life upon that, just as Jesus gave the example of two builders. One built his house on the sand, and one built his house upon the rock. And the same extreme, immense storm came against those two buildings. The same intensity, the same demonic powers came against both those buildings, but only one remained standing, and that was the one built upon the rock. Because Christ is our foundation. We build our life upon him, and faith is, it is the center. It should be the center of our life, right? The shield of faith, part of the armor of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You and I have to continue hearing the word of God, not just from someone else preaching, but hearing it from God himself as we read his word, as the Holy Spirit guides us and teaches us through the word of God. You and I, by faith, have to keep living for the Lord, keep walking with the Lord, keep surrendering to the Lord, submitting to the Lord, so that God can do a good work in our life and use us in the lives of other people. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That is the number one thing people are looking at us about. Do we really believe what the Bible says? Do we really believe in Jesus Christ? Do we really believe in one God? Because the world as a whole believes in many gods. But it's the Bible believer that only believes in one God who's the creator. And not just the creator, but the savior of the world. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Our faith is the most valuable thing that God's given us. Our faith in him. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Do I really believe that God is my helper? Do I really believe that God is my sustainer, that God needs to be glorified in my life, the life that he redeemed. I really want Christ to be lifted up. I really want the light of Christ to shine through because Jesus said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You realize that when someone sees Christ in you, they don't need to tell you they see Christ, right? But when someone sees it, God's glorified because it's God in you and God in me that's doing the work, right? I can't be good without Christ. Christ helps me to be good, helps me to do good, helps me to think good, helps me to choose the good over the evil. Philippians 4:8, the last thing I want us to think about is just our thoughts. Our thoughts. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. It is true, what we think will determine how we are. Because if someone in their mind is scared to death over darkness, whatever, something has their mind, don't want to put thoughts in the kids' head, so I won't give any examples, but I think adults, you understand, I mean, it's just sometimes kids have thoughts that aren't true when they're laying in the dark. And sometimes as adults, we have thoughts that are not true either. Because sometimes, you know, we think, well, you know, God's, how do I know that God's going to be there for me? Do you realize David ran for his life for many years because there was a man hunting him like an animal wanting to kill him? And David kept seeing the hand of God protecting him over and over again. But there came a day when David thought there was just one step between him and death, because Saul just wasn't giving up. Saul was just after him. And you know what? David got a little tired of that, a little fatigued. And he thought, even though God had protected him up to that point and even gave David some opportunities to take matters into his own hand, and David never would. He said, I'm not going to touch God's anointed because God's the one that put King Saul in that position as king. David said, I'm not going to touch him. I'm not going to kill him. So David knew God protected him, but David allowed his thoughts to convince him that he was but one step away from death. And he left the protection of God, where God was, and he went into the land of the Philistines, specifically to the city of Gath, to get protection from Achish, one of the kings of the Philistines. Even though David knew he had been protected up to that point, he allowed himself to be convinced by his thoughts that he needed to take matters into his own hands. That's where we get into trouble. That's why Philippians 4 verse 8 tells us, keep thinking about what's true, what has a good report. And guess what has a good report? God's word and God's faithfulness. He's never failed us. Again, there's somebody in your life that you want them to trust in your Savior and in your God. And even though they may keep rejecting what you say and keep rejecting maybe your invite to church, they're still watching. They're still wanting to know. They're still wanting to know. Do you believe what you say? Do you believe what you believe? Again, it's very important that we believe that God wants us to be a godly influence, because guess what? If I don't think God wants me to be a godly influence, then I'm not going to let God be an influence in my life. But if I believe God wants me to be a godly influence to help other people, then that's going to encourage me and challenge me to stay close to Him, to keep letting Him work in my life. You realize, again, the letters that Paul writes, his epistles, not one of them was written without being in prison. They were all written while he was in prison. You read his letters, they're letters of encouragement, because he wants to encourage other people in their relationship with the Lord. Because I believe that time is short. I do believe that Christ is going to return. I believe that God can help anybody physically, spiritually, mentally. And I'm sure you believe that as well. But God still wants to do a good work in us. He still wants to transform his children more into the image of Christ while using us to be a help and encouragement in someone else's life.